You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, so there's a tweet out, NFL standings for the decade, and how many wins every organization has had. Who do you think has been the best organization?
In the last decade?
Of the last decade. It's not even close.
It's got to be Patriots.
Patriots?
Yeah.
Not even close. Next best organization in the league has 23 fewer wins.
Let me guess who that is. Is it going to be the Packers?
The Packers are 102-56-2, and there's another team that's 102-57-1.
Steelers?
Steelers.
Yeah.
Those two. And then there's two other teams that have won 100 games.
Look at the longevity of the quarterback position in every single case.
Well, it continues. There's two other teams that have won 100
Saints.
Games.
Saints?
Saints are one.
Uh-huh. It's got to be Kirk Cousins.
No, it doesn't have to be
Hold
Kirk
on.
Cousins.
So if it's Saints, so we're done with the Saints, it's not going to be Mahomes. And well, it could be Andy Reid, but no, not for a decade.
It'll be pretty obvious.
Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson. It's the Seahawks. And then the Chiefs, 96 wins.
Yep. Alex Smith and Pat Mahomes.
Yep. They were really good under. It's surprising that they only have 96 because they were really good for a long time. Excuse me. The Ravens are next at 98.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then the Chiefs.
And then the Chiefs at 96.
Yep.
Who? Okay, so remember Dell used to say, which is stupid, that the Texans were the Lions organization? Because that's stupid.
Well, the Lions are at the bottom.
No, actually, they're only 10 games behind the Texans. But
The Texans have had two
stinky seasons.
They've had two two-win seasons and a four-win season during that time.
Can you guess who has the exact same record as the Texans over the last decade?
Okay, so it's not the Lions.
It's not the Lions.
It's not the Lions, obviously. You said that. Let's see, the same record, Dolphins?
It's not the Dolphins. It's a team in their division.
Oh, Titans.
No, it's the Colts.
Really?
They 82 and 78 over
so
the last
technically,
decade.
You had, in the last decade, yeah, you would have had Peyton Manning inside the last decade,
and
but only the back
Andrew
end.
Andrew Luck?
The back end, yeah.
But then you.
Carson Wentz, Phillip Rivers. Scott Tolzien,
yeah, you had,
wherever they have next year.
Yeah, you had a couple of. Well, you had the from Andrew Luck. Well, Andrew Luck got hurt too, so you had a stinky year there.
Yeah, you had Tolzien, and then you had Jacoby Brissett. It sucks to be in a quarterback. How about the Colts? This is the worst. When you're a team that has a good team, you know you have a team
the
that
Titans can, had Whitehurst too.
How about having a team that you know can compete for a Super Bowl, but you're stuck in. You're stuck in purgatory.
Yeah.
You can't get out. What are the Colts going to do now? Well, you're going to go after Darnold? You're going to try to make a trade for Baker Mayfield? Danny Dimes?
Well, they're going to
They would trade all the first-round picks for the next 5 years.
8, 7, 16, 15?
Well, they could trade all their draft picks for the next 5 years for Deshaun Watson.
But Kenny Pickett might still be there.
You see the guy that's going to get you out of quarterback purgatory, or is he the guy you now have to commit to? Like, if you do Carson Wentz, you can commit 1 year. You do Carson if you go Matt Corral or Malik Willis or Pickett, you're committed for 4 years.
Yeah.
That's tough. That's a long window that you have to have open. So I don't.
Does Matt Corral have the kind of ability, though, that. I mean, especially
are you hearing what he's saying?
There, especially where you're drafting. I mean, listen, the Cardinals got out after 1 year. Said, no, you ain't the guy. Out.
I'll tell you what, though. Actually, it's funny. I could see, and he won't even tell me any of his stuff anymore, but I could see Ballard getting in. I could see him getting involved with Malik Willis if he traded back. And I'll tell you why. You got to run heavy offense. You can work play action off of that heavy, off of that offense, which is, I think, what Malik needs. He's got tremendous physical talent. He's got dual threat capability. And he would have a guy like Frank Reich there to work with. I could see him going for the guy that has a really high upside because Malik Willis has a high upside, but he has a low floor. So that's the concern that you have. But all of the man, if you look at all those teams that you mentioned, and the Colts and the Texans there together, it kind of shows you the ups and downs of the Colts, but the ups and downs of the Texans. The Texans had some really good seasons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They've had 11-win, 12-win seasons, 10-win seasons. They've had double-digit seasons. Most of the time Bill O'Brien was here, they had double-digit win seasons. Although he did have that famous 9-7 is not the bar, I wanted to open a bar named 9-7.
It was every year he was 9-7. The Colts don't have. Oh, that's right. They don't have their first.
Yeah, the
pick.
Eagles have their first pick. They don't make a pick until the 47th pick of the draft.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's gotta feel
three,
good.
I don't think you'll get it. The three worst franchises over the last Jets. Decade. It's not the Jets.
Three worst.
The worst is obvious.
The worst, not the Browns.
The Browns.
Okay. It is. Yeah.
42-117-1.
The Lions aren't one of the worst?
The Lions are not one of the worst.
Okay, so I will say them. I will say
pretty obvious.
It can't be Rams. Hold on. It's not the Bengals.
Nope.
Not the Bills. Hold on a second. Tampa, Atlanta. Not Tampa. Tampa, Atlanta, New Orleans.
Yeah, Tampa. Tampa's the third worst.
Is it? Yeah, before Brady, it's hard to remember.
They're
but they
59
they
wins, 59-101.
Right after Gruden.
Yeah.
And into, wow.
It was
Tampa. Who are the three worst?
The second is the Jags. Second worst.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Browns, Jags, and Tampa. And you look, and they just won a Super Bowl. Would you put up with a decade like that to win that one Super Bowl?
Look at all their quarterback situations during that time.
Are they in a better position than the Texans organization winning 82 games, but winning a Super Bowl, that
Who's
one
that?
Super Bowl, the Bucs? Would you put up with all that losing to win that one Super Bowl?
Well, I guess so.
I mean,
because they ended up winning another one.
Right. I mean, they're possibly on the cusp of another.
Are they the Miami Marlins of
When
football?
Brady goes, what are they going to do again? They're going to suck again.
Yeah, more than likely.
More than likely.
I don't think when Brady goes, Bruce goes. If Bruce is smart, Bruce Arians goes, well, that's it, Daddy Jack. We up out ya. I see y'all in New Orleans. Like, you're not a New Orleans Jazz man, Bruce.
Bruce is. he thinks he is.
He does.
He does think.
New Orleans
but
jazz
he's also
man
got
vibe.
Those, all those heart issues that he's had over the years.
He's had health issues. Yeah.
Yes.
Bruce lost weight. He looks good. He's lost weight. But Bruce's big thing is he wants to. You know, Bruce's big thing is he wants to really advance the causes for minorities and for women inside the sport of football, and that's why his staff is primarily black. I don't know if you've even. Recognize that his offense coordinator is Byron Leftwich, his defense coordinator Todd Bowles, both very qualified, by the way. Mm-hmm. It's not to say they're not. Todd Bowles is a beast, but Goody is his offensive coordinator, or is Harold Godwin is his offensive line coach, who was he was my dad's assistant at Pittsburgh, and my dad was his assistant in Arizona. So Bruce, for him, it's more about much more than football. That's why he's staying in the game. But with that said, when Tom's gone, he gone.
Yeah.
He ain't sticking around for life after Tom. For what? For who? Especially if Bill Belichick were to come back and struggle next year, then Bill Belichick would have to say. See, I get the feeling Bill Belichick wouldn't want to go out like with a 6-win season, or an 8-win season. I
No.
think Bill would want to go out like in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, probably. I don't think he wants to go out after. That,
will
that
Bill Belichick die before leaving the game? Because he feels like one of those guys, like you can take this whistle, you can pry it from my cold, dead hands. Bill Belichick feels like a guy who would just keep going and say, well, I'm going to go until I drop. I'm not stopping. Maybe even Saban. Saban started to smile recently.
No.
Like, you've seen it?
No, yeah. And you know, do you see he got in politics, too?
Yeah,
he signed
wrote
a petition
letter
to the governor
to West Virginia.
West
yeah.
Virginia,
like maybe he's getting too happy and he's on the way out.
Yeah, all kinds of news around the league that we will get to on the other side here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, I'm talking about my bookie. Okay, and we can go over games and see where are the lines right now. What's going on with the NFL playoffs? And how has it changed and what's going on? And you can do all of that, my friends, at mybookie.ag. promo code BET975. Listen, if you're looking for the best way to play, win, get paid, if you're looking for great, you deposit, there's all kinds of deposit bonuses that go on at mybookie.ag. There are, if you refer a friend, you get $250 worth of bonuses to play with. There's no other bookies that do this. They just don't. They're not giving you bonus play because you gave them money or because you made bets. It doesn't, just doesn't happen with other bookies. It happens at MyBookie. They want you to play, and when you play and you win, you get paid. That's what happens at MyBookie.ag. Promo code BET975. You're looking for, there's thousands and thousands of things to bet on. Everything you could possibly want at MyBookie.ag. Promo code BET975.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Boy, how soon they forget. Georgia fans, none too pleased. Some are none too pleased that Stetson Bennett is coming back for a sixth year. And apparently Burton transferred, and now JT Daniels has gone into the transfer portal. Do you think Burton's transfer is tied to this decision? Absolutely. No decent receiver will want to come in now.
The guy who they won a national championship. Of course, they get it too, though.
This isn't going to help quarterback or wide receiver recruiting. Lovely. Ran JT and Burton off. Sucks. I mean, he just won them a national championship. Greg McElroy was none too pleased, former Alabama quarterback, with them. And Stuart Mandel said,
well, McElroy had some of those Stetson qualities, yeah, too, so he probably sees some of himself.
Yeah.
And Stetson, like, why are y'all bagging on me, Stetson? He just wanted a high level, and you Tide fan, you dog fans can't wait to get rid of me. Him.
Stetson Bennett finished the season number 3 nationally in yards per attempt, 10.0, and 4 in passer rating, 176.7. In the fourth quarter of the national title game, he threw a go-ahead 40-yard TD and a 15-yard TD to go up by 8, said Stuart Mandel. And, you know, rightfully, I mean, are you kidding me, Georgia? You hadn't won in 40 years. And Stetson Bennett, you're going to complain? Greg McElroy said, I wonder what all these experts would say to Stetson if they saw him walking around Athens. My bet is to be quite different than their Twitter timelines. Yeah.
Well, probably.
That's Twitter.
That's
courage.
Usually
that's Twitter courage. That yeah. Stuff happens. Some news and notes from around the NFL. People are noticing Mike McDaniel. You got the Mike Jones. All right.
Does he have some other ones that he does this?
I don't know. Is he here? Is Mike McDaniel's the OC for the 49ers? Now, we know he doesn't call the plays. Kyle Shanahan does. But Mike McDaniel is getting a lot of notoriety for how he looks and how he talks as an offensive coordinator.
They say he's like a hipster. He looks like a hipster.
Yeah.
He's a football assassin disguised as a hipster, what I just saw.
Right. He shouts out. Here's a shout out to Mike Jones during a presser.
Mike, what is it about Debo?
Who?
What's up, man?
Mike Jones, let's go. What's up?
How you doing?
So the guy asking the question is Mike Jones.
Mm-hmm. Mike Jones, what up?
So play Mike Jones, play rapper Mike Jones, play his stuff. Where there's a whole song. It's a reference to Houston rapper Mike Jones is where it comes from. And Mike McDaniel, who, by the way, was in Houston as an assistant during the Gary Kubiak times with Kyle Shanahan, 2006 to 2009. He was a low-level assistant. He's from Aurora, Colorado, which means he probably came over. He's probably part of the Colorado State Mafia that came in along with his son. And he's basically been here since he was here when he was 22 years old or right out of college. And that's why this reporter, because there's another one, When NFL reporter Mike Jones asked 49ers offensive coordinator Mike McDaniel about Deebo Samuel, he had the perfect response. And I guess it's a longer form video, but he always, like, he loves to do the Mike Jones thing, which the reporter has probably heard multiple times. But Mike McDaniel, because he was in Houston during some of the times where Mike Jones was big, the rapper, that's probably where he gets some of that from. So he is a guy that when you see him, you will be shocked.
Yeah.
You will be shocked. You'll be like, wait a minute.
Well, I am looking at right now. I liked it too.
Okay, LaFleur, you can see.
LaFleur.
LaFleur, Shanahan.
And wait till you see McVay. When they were all assistants with the Redskins,
they could all
look
be
how young. Wow. Look how young these guys are.
LaFleur looks like he's 23.
Matt LaFleur, and wait till you see Sean McVay.
Wait, is this back when? Oh, there's Kyle. Mike Shanahan.
Mike was the head
coach. So LaFleur is probably 24 years old.
Look at McVay.
He is just like a little Gruden.
He's
got such Gruden vibes. Look how young he is.
Look how young he is.
How old was that staff?
They were
24.
Mike Shanahan just brought in. Hey, Kyle, you got any friends? You want?
Hey. Do the guys from the sleepover want to come coach? That's what
John,
he took the whole sleepover.
You've been named the head coach of the Houston Gamblers in the USFL. Does JT have some friends that you want to build your staff with?
Absolutely. Hey, you bring your buddies, your high school buddies with you.
Wow, look, man, they are so young.
Look, it's unbelievable.
And they all came
and they're
from
all
that
on
tree.
The same staff. Listen, the Shanahan Kubiak tree is much greater than Belichick tree.
Way better.
Way better.
Way better.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, it's really Mike Shanahan because Mike had Gary, Mike had Kyle, Gary had Kyle, both of them. But then it also spawned LaFleur, McVay.
Gary had Sala.
LaFleur, McVay, Sala, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a quality control guy here, but I count that.
Yeah.
I count that.
He gave us a job, a first job.
So, yeah, those are, well, I mean, jury's still out on Robert Sala, the head coach. I'm not exactly ready to call it a huge success story yet.
No, but it's, I'll tell you, hey, that was an impossible situation.
D'Amico Ryans technically is from that tree because he's with Kyle Shanahan now. Although Shanahan gets his own tree, Kyle does.
Yeah. And, well, now that's his tree, right? That ain't Kubiak's.
But no, but is that Mike, does that technically count as Mike Shanahan's tree?
No, it technically counts as Kyle's. Mike Shanahan didn't hire him, Kyle did.
Okay, so it's got to be under your hire.
Under your hire.
It can't be under your loins.
Well,
like a child who came from your loins.
Well.
If a child came from your loins.
See, that is yours because it came from your loins.
In a way.
Well,
but
I
don't
want to say D'Amico came from Kyle Shanahan's
loins. No, Kyle gets
loins.
His own. But obviously, McVay, LaFleur, and obviously his own son, they all are under the Mike Shanahan tree. I'll match that against Belichick's tree any day. It's not even close. I mean, Super Bowl appearances in those trees. How many Super Bowl appearances did Josh McDaniels have with the Broncos?
The Broncos?
How about Joe Judge with the Giants? How many Super Bowls?
No, he didn't have any Super Bowl. I don't think.
Well, hold on, let me think.
No,
was Joe Judge the head coach when Eli was there and they had the catch on the helmet and all that stuff? They beat Tom.
No, that was not.
That
him.
Wasn't Joe Judge.
No.
Okay, so Joe Judge has none. Did Charlie Weiss win a national championship with Notre Dame?
Yeah, no, he got fired. He sucked.
Oh, that's hard to. Did Billy win a championship? Well, he won a national championship at least with Alabama this year.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
No, he champion. Didn't. He lost. Georgia beat him.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
That was a setup.
Champion.
But he won an SEC championship.
He did.
So that was cool.
Congratulations.
Billy's got a new SEC championship belt that he wears around the house.
Hey, 9-7 is not the bar. Not at Alabama.
No.
Not anymore. It's not. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776. Mike is a Yale guy. Worked in Denver in 05. Yeah, Cougs. He's a Cougs guy. Yeah. But also Kyle is a, I guess Kyle is really Mike Shanahan's tree, right? Because he actually did come from his loins.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, Kyle's under that tree, and so is.
Not Kubiak tree. He's under Mike Shanahan.
No, he's under Mike.
He literally
came
from his
he's
loins.
Under Mike Shanahan. Right. Kyle
as
was
opposed
an offense.
To D'Amico.
Kyle coached with Gary Kubiak. Gary gave him a shot, and then he made him play caller. Matt Schaub had his best year ever under Kyle Shanahan. Then Kyle Shanahan had Rookie of the Year in RG3.
And then he had Matt Ryan.
Then
to
he
the
had
Super
Matt
Bowl.
Ryan to an MVP.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a. Then he took Jimmy Garoppolo to a Super Bowl. Kyle Shanahan is a wizard.
Yeah, that said, you look at his record, though, over the years, not great.
No, it's no. worse than you'd think.
No, but here's the deal. It's so funny. They are night and day. I think they're 34-15 when Garoppolo starts, and like they're 20 games under 500 when Garoppolo doesn't start. So that is a huge difference, and that's Jimmy Garoppolo. Hey, listen, if they decide Trey Lance is the guy next year, Garoppolo's making him some money somewhere.
Yeah.
Right now, he's making himself some money somewhere.
Well, he's not a does he? He still has a year left on his contract.
Well, they might get rid of him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Right. He's going to make them some. Listen, that could be the next Colt quarterback.
How about that? I mean, he can get you the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you'd have to give up a second this year, and now you're in the quarterback, and now you're in the whirlwind of trading picks, like the Buffalo Bills tried to do forever. When they missed on J.P. Lossman, they were screwed for years. When you screw a quarter, and this was just Andrew Luck just quitting, like it's you couldn't have seen that coming.
Mm-mm.
And as soon as that came, look what happened. We'll give you a second that turns into a first for Carson Wentz. Cool, first. We'll give you a second rounder and a fourth rounder for Jimmy Garoppolo. Cool. I mean, then what? You gonna sign him to a long term deal?
Yeah.
Like that's where the Texans being. This is why I'm cool with rolling with Davis Mills another year. It just leaves the door open. You have no expectations next year.
No, life is simple. Don't force the issue.
Life is simple. Don't force it.
No.
Because at some point you have to force it. The Colts have to force it. You don't have to force it if you're the Texans, so don't.
Rockets talk next with Roosh Williams here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, I'm talking about Chastain Ford and the wonderful people over at Chastain Ford. I honestly, it's about it's at the top, and that's where it starts with Joe and Patrick. And it's about a philosophy that the Chastains have had forever. And that's why they're the number one commercial Ford dealer in the city of Houston. Because business is bottom line. Bottom line is you're going to get the customized car exactly as you car or truck exactly as you want it, as you need it, at the price that you want it and need it at. And you're going to get the best service. That's what's happening at the commercial side and the retail side at Chastain Ford. They obviously, if you're that good, they said, you know what? Let's boost this retail side now, and let's do the same thing for you as somebody who walks in off the street. We had a guy who called in yesterday, Philip, who said, I bought my wife I think it was an Expedition or Explorer, whatever it was. He said, I got the best deal, and it couldn't have been. You were exactly right. They want to know what my payments have to be, how I can do where I can be comfortable, and everything that I wanted in the car, not what they wanted to give me. So that's happening every single time. It'll happen for you at ChastainFord.com or on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Roosh Williams, host of The Noble and Roosh Show. You can follow him on Twitter, at Roosh, R-O-O-S-H, Roosh Williams, at Roosh Williams on Twitter. Roosh, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well, John. How you doing, man? Thanks for having me.
Well, you must
act like you didn't even hear any of the mic. Like you're not even gonna respond to the still tipping. I mean, you want to do, that's fine.
I heard it, Lance. Four fours are tipping, and wood grain is being gripped. Don't worry about that.
So tell me that you weren't up all night celebrating that win against Utah.
Oh man, what a game! What a game! Lots to discuss there. I mean. Huge shot from Kevin Porter Jr.
Again, go back all of these wins. It seems like Kevin Porter Jr. is hitting a huge three every time.
Yeah, you know, I think this is his like third one at this point. Obviously, he had the game winner against the Wizards. He's got this one. I think there's another one peppered in where he hit like a big one that sealed the game. And then, hey, Garrison Matthews, man, I can't say enough about this kid, but it seems like every time the Rockets are having a big game, he's going off in 3-2. And he had a team high 23 points. He was shooting them from the parking lot and just drilling them. So, awesome team win. You know, kind of like a across the board, they got contributions. Jayshon Tate was just doing what Jayshon Tate tends to do. We already talked about Garrison Matthews, even Christian Wood. Not the best game offensively, but he was rebounding the ball and hit that crazy buzzer beater at the end of the third quarter, if you saw that. Jalen Green struggled, so that was kind of disappointing, but, you know, it's to be expected. And then Armani Brooks even found his stroke. You know, shout out to the University of Houston. He's been struggling this season, but he came in and hit three big threes in that third quarter that kind of helped them get past the Kings when the Jazz were kind of pressing to try to pull away.
You know, we saw Jalen Green took a step in the right direction when he came back off of his, you know, his long departure when he was injured. Kevin Porter Jr., since coming back, but more importantly, since the issue with John Lucas, has been a little bit different player. He has been a little more consistent. We saw him take care of the ball. The ball seemed to matter more to him. Fewer turnovers yesterday. It feels like there, you know, I wonder if there's any growth happening there with him from a personality and personal maturity standpoint.
You know what's funny, man, is he deleted his Twitter account. You know, I don't know if he like completely deleted it, but he deactivated his Twitter account, I think, a couple weeks ago. And ever since then, he's just been playing the best basketball of the season. So I really wonder if there is some like correlation there, you know, like I think sometimes we kind of underestimate how, I mean, he's 21 years old, you know, so I think we underestimate how these kids really hop on the internet and kind of listen to the noise and how that might affect them. And so, you know, he's responded so well since that incident that I think he really deserves credit. And, that's my dog crying in the back, zip it. But he deserves a ton of credit. And, you know, I think that it kind of goes hand in hand with the fact that he's not on the internet anymore and he's just playing the best basketball of the season. So I think he deserves a ton of credit for that.
What are you going to get for Eric Gordon? And he's got to get moved, right? He's got to be. Somebody's going to want him.
I mean, look, at this point, dude, I can't imagine his value being any higher than it is right now. He's hitting, you know, 46% of his threes. The only thing is, man, you got to move him because you don't want Eric Gordon to get hurt. You know, I love Eric Gordon. I think he's been one of the best Rockets of like the modern era. But like I said, highest value he's had, I think you've got to get a first round pick back for him. You know, if you look back at some of the trades in the past, like for example, 2016-17, the Rockets gave up a first round pick for Lou Williams, you know, so I can't imagine that Eric Gordon would go for anything less than a first round pick and some kind of salary filler. I think Cleveland's going to be a player for Eric Gordon. They might try to, you know, give Ricky Rubio and a first-round pick. Rubio's out for the season. The Rockets would just take the salary in, and he expires, and he'd be done. The Lakers would probably be interested, but I'm not sure if the Rockets would be interested in what the Lakers have to offer. But, yeah, I mean, if you're a contender and you're looking for a veteran shooter that can also defend and hit big shots for you and it has been proven in the playoffs, I just don't see someone better on the market right now than Eric Gordon. So I think you've got to move him, unfortunately, as much as I love him. And then I think the Rockets might be sellers at this deadline. You know, they've got some valuable vets. You know, Daniel Tice, some teams could use Daniel Tice. There might be some teams out there that could use David Nwaba and or DJ Augustine. And then obviously we've spoken before about, you know, Christian Wood. And Miles Turner just got hurt, you know. So Miles Turner was probably the most valuable center on the market. But he's hurt, and he's expected to be out past the trade deadline, which is huge. So now Christian Wood like automatically becomes the most valuable center for teams that are looking for that. So I think the Rockets might be sellers.
What about Tice? Tice is probably going to be traded before him.
Tice is one of those guys I mean, you could definitely see that because of just the position he plays and how he plays. But what's interesting for me is that Gordon would be a great fit for the issues they have with the Nets, but you have so many of their picks already make sense. The Lakers, but what about the Suns? What about the Suns looking for another veteran who Chris Paul knows, who's got the ability to, you know, to work off the bounce if he needs to, a veteran who can put some effort into it defensively? What about the Suns as one of those teams that maybe not a lot of people are talking about?
So I would personally love him on the Suns. Obviously, he would reunite with Chris Paul, and that would be fun. And he would fit perfectly, you know, and help them out in an area of need. But I think it might be difficult because Phoenix is going to have to find salary to match. they would probably throw in Dario Saric. He's also out for the season, just like a body to kind of fill salary that I think eventually would expire, and the Rockets would just kind of get him off the books. But I don't know who else they would be able to pair with Saric. The thinking is maybe Jalen Smith, who's, I think, in the last year of his deal. But there's something – I'm not the best cap guy, but there's something with his contract that the Suns declined to extend him, right? So I think whoever has his rights can only offer him a maximum of $4.7 million, which is what I think he's getting paid this season. So the thing is, if you trade for Jalen Smith and you have his rights, I think the amount that you can offer him is capped, and therefore some other team could swoop in free agency and offer him more money and basically take him away from you. I think he would have to be a part of the package for the Rockets to be interested, I think. And they could also get first-round picks, but, you know, it kind of depends at that point what the protections on those picks are, because Phoenix is obviously good, right? So you want, like, a more valuable pick. But it's possible. Phoenix is a possibility. I just think it gets a little difficult to match that salary. Lakers, like John, I think I heard John mention the Lakers. Lakers could also work. You'd probably be looking something at, like, you know, Kendrick Nunn and Talen Horton Tucker plus maybe like a 2028 first round pick, something like that. And hey, don't sleep on the idea. I've heard of, heard that the possibility of Russell Westbrook being traded for John Wall is not zero. I'll just say it's not zero. So that's also a possibility. Obviously the Lakers,
Russell Westbrook back. Oh my God. I'd rather have John Wall sitting than Russell Westbrook back.
Well, it would be a scenario where the Lakers give up a first round pick, and then the Rockets just buy Westbrook out and let him go on his way. Basically a way of just trying to extract some type of value from John Wall, you know, get an extra first-round pick, which would be funny, man, because, you know, it would basically be like they traded Westbrook for Wall in a first-round pick, and then they trade Wall for another first-round pick. So if you remember, when they traded CP3 for Westbrook, they gave up two first-round picks, so they basically get those back. It'd be kind of funny.
That would be interesting. And you know what, Eric? Listen, Jalen Green, what did he play? 16 minutes, whatever he played last night. I mean, it's just 23 minutes. And Alperen Şengün just 16 minutes. They got to be on the floor, don't they? I mean, I understand you want to get the it's important to get wins, but what's more important is getting these guys the time they need to mature.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm okay with last night Jalen Green not playing because I think he was minus 14 on the floor, which was tied for a team worst with Jayshon Tate. And the Rockets made their comeback with Jalen Green sitting. So last night, I get it. But there's been too many times this season where the Rockets are losing or the game just out of hand, and Jalen Green will get like 27 minutes, and the Rockets need to find out, and to find out what his max potential is and the best way to use him. Because right now he's just kind of being used out of the corner as like this fourth option that randomly gets the ball. No rhythm, no like consistency with his reps. And then Şengün's got to get more time too, because especially if the Rockets are sellers at this deadline, if they lose Tice or if they lose Christian Wood, Şengün is going to automatically slot in to get more minutes, you would think. And so I'd like to see more of them. I'm trying to stay patient because they're young and we should have some time to go. But at the same time, it's like, come on, let's get these kids going. Let's get them to grow up overnight,
Yeah, absolutely. I know you've been pounding the floor for Şengün getting more for a while now. And I just love watching that guy play.
Tell you who else is
Josh Christopher. I mean, as athletic as he is, I thought he was going to be in the G League all year. And dude can play.
Man, I will echo that sentiment. I honestly thought he'd be in the G League for most of the year, if not the whole year, and be like a 11th, 10th, 11th, 12th man. But that kid is NBA ready. I mean, physical, he's ready. His body is immediately ready to transfer to the NBA, more so than Jalen Green's at this point in their careers. He's aggressive. He knows how to get to the bucket. He's just a hooper, man. He knows how to get to the bucket and score. He's confident. And he's already got like a little bag of tricks when he gets to the basket. He's able to kind of hit some fadeaways. He's able to finish with the left. We saw him do it over Gobert last night. I'm really impressed with Josh Christopher. And if he kind of continues to pan out as what he is looking like, then I think that's going to be one heck of a pick for the Rockets at 24,
That's Roosh Williams right here at Roosh Williams on Twitter, the Noble and Roosh show as well. You can hear his thoughts on Rockets basketball Roosh, as always, that was fun last night. Good win for the organization and their quest for 28.
That's what it is. The hashtag quest for 28 is the Rockets look to go over the preseason win total of 27.5.
Thanks for having me, guys. Always fun, and it's always fun to beat the Utah Jazz. So
yeah,
I mean that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I made the kids turn it on and pause it at the beginning. I said, "You kids need to watch from the beginning. Stop being Instagram watchers." They're like, "Oh, did you see what happened? How do you guys know some? I did never even see you play basketball. How do you know every player in the league and everything that's going on? ESPN clips, Instagram, argue with friends, NBA 2K. Like, oh, so not."
Not watching games?
Not actual human eyes and a television set.
Right.
And yet they can tell you every player on every roster. I'm like, I don't know how this is possible. I never see you guys watching games and you know every player. You argue about Landry Shamet. Like, this doesn't make any sense to me how you can have these arguments when I never even see you watch staying up late to watch games.
Yeah. All right, that's no jab at your kids, but this is a jab.
Site Jab is a jab for you, a chance for you to punch up that website. And Site Jab has a suite of products that they offer. I'm going to read it to you right off their website here. It says, if you go to the website, it's black and gold. If you're a Steeler or Pirate or, you know, from the city of Pittsburgh, you'll love it. You've got, or maybe if you're from A-Leaf Hastings, they've got a upper right-hand corner says, let's meet. You can schedule your appointment. They got a phone number where you can give them a call as well. But if you look at marketing, professional video production, business consulting, lead generation, branding and identity, social media management, this is very important for a lot of small to medium-sized businesses. You've got their custom web design and e-commerce websites that they build. And then they show you who they are, their team, their professionals. Hector's got a staff that's been working for a long time with him, his core workers. And what they're going to do is build a strategy around getting more people to your site, to engage with your site, and to get all the information they need from your site so it shines the very best light on you as a small to medium-sized business. Go to the website, sitejab.com, S-I-T-E-Jab.com, and set up your consultation today with the Let's Meet button on the upper right-hand corner.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. A couple knuckleheads, if you ask me.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lan.
So, there is a video. Did this happen last night? Is it last night this happened? So, there is a video, WSAZ-TV, a guy in studio, the anchor in studio, is talking, and there's a double window. And in Dunbar, West Virginia, is this female reporter, this girl. There's severe weather. And there's a severe weather alert, and she is standing on the street, and here's what happens during a live broadcast of the news. Last night or whenever.
On the freeze, Tori Yorke joins us now live in Dunbar. And Tori, they're not seeing any flakes, but wet roads. And now we're starting to experience, unfortunately, in freeze thaw, we see this, water main breaks.
I just got hit by a car, but I'm okay, Tim.
That's first for you on TV, Tori.
Woo! We're all good.
Are you okay?
I'm okay. Yeah, you know, that's live TV for you. It's all good. I actually got hit by a car in college, too, just like that.
Wow.
I am so glad I'm okay.
Yeah.
You're okay. You're okay. We're all good. This is a... You know what? It's one
sure
woman
you're
band.
Okay, Tori?
We're good, Tim. Ma'am,
you're sure you're
you
okay?
are so sweet and you are okay.
I am so sorry.
It is all good. You know, oh, Lord.
So
you know, it's my last week on the job and I think this would happen.
So you were
specifically
bumped in,
to me, Tim.
Were you bumped down low, Tori, or were you hit up high? I couldn't really tell from looking.
I don't even. Do you know if I was bumped down low or up high, sir?
I just saw you disappear.
I don't even know. I don't even know, Tim. My whole life just flashed before my eyes.
Oh,
but this is live TV and everything's
was okay. I thought I was in a safe spot, but clearly we might need to move the camera over a bit. Yeah. So let me do that while I'm
you're
thinking
in,
of it.
Now, just to set the stage for you once again, Tori's in an area right now. There have been a water main break, so there are emergency vehicles around there. And a lot of times what we have seen in those kind of situations are in when emergency vehicles are around, there's a lot of confusion from people about drivers, about where to go. So it's possible
people
that's
get
what
distracted
happened
there. A little bit.
Yeah. Sorry, you didn't even see
the car. That woman was so nice, though.
Yeah.
She didn't mean to. It was an accident. I know it was, and I'm okay. Everything's fine. But again, Tim, we'll get back to the report, right? Yeah. We're on Roxalana Hills Drive in Dunbar. This is where
that
water main
bridge
is. That is
a pro. I mean, she's going right back into her reporting on the weather. Got a call. I'm going to send that to Wendy. Now, that's a pro. I mean, she's going to get hit by a car, and she's still going to do her report. That's a pro's pro. All right? And she got hit by a car doing the same thing in college, she said.
Don't worry. It happened in college. I got hit by a car in college. Oh, it didn't say doing the same thing. She said she got hit by a car in college.
Oh, yeah. Well, I thought maybe.
Have you ever been? Okay.
I've been hit by a car.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. This is called Ask John Questions, because you will be surprised sometime at the answers.
Yeah.
You have been hit by a car.
I've been hit by a car. Yep.
Were you on a bike?
Yes.
I knew it. Was it your fault?
Nope.
For sure.
Dude blew a stop sign.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, came to the house. He was a weird guy, too. He wanted to buy me. He bought me another bike. But I was glad my parents were actually home. And when he came over.
But how old were you?
I was in maybe seventh grade.
Oh, man. You were young.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he wanted to buy you a bike. What happened?
Yeah. I was riding a four-way stop. I was this going. And he just blew the stop sign and hit me. I might have done it on purpose. He was a weird dude.
Did you get sneaky pedo vibes off him or something? Like, I don't know. I'm glad my parents were there. He bought me a bike. It felt like that was a weird pickup trick.
Yeah. I mean, that's not the way I would go about it if I was a pedo, but I thought maybe there was a possibility.
Maybe he just felt bad about hitting you with a bike because he hit an Italian kid.
No.
What, are you kidding me?
Well,
I'm sorry. You just hit an Italian kid? Oh, my God. I hit an Italian kid in a neighborhood in Chicago. I know there's going to be a hit on me now. I swear to God, please, I'll bring you all the groceries you need. There'll be the most beautiful fruits and vegetables to your father. Tell him, Johnny. Tell him, Johnny Granato. Don't let your dad get to me.
Is
there any chance that he thought he had hit a mob kid's son?
No, I don't know that. I don't know that.
Is there a chance,
when
though?
He came to our house, he knew though that wasn't the case. You know, what with the small house we lived in.
You didn't feel mobbed
up?
No,
it wasn't. It didn't, no. Nah,
what dad, was it? Gravy?
Had a Dago Cheon with some spaghetti sauce on it, but okay.
And all of a sudden he thought maybe he's low level, even more dangerous.
It could be. Yeah.
Well, every mob guy's not in big houses. It's low level stuff.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, Donnie Brasco shined a little different light on it.
Have you ever been shot at, John? Ax John. Hashtag okay. Ax John. Yeah. You've never been shot at?
I've had a gun go off. That scared me when I was a kid. I was at Harry Wright's house, and me and Rusty Walker were behind the other four kids, Clay and Harry Wright and Dusty Dean and somebody else, I think. Maybe just those three. They took off without us. We're at Harry's house, and we're in the woods walking like behind his house. And this guy, and we're just two white kids. It's a black neighborhood, right? So we spent the night at Harry's, and this guy just said, hey, and we're like, and we weren't doing anything wrong. We took off running and pow, I'm like, we're freaking out running. Probably in, we had to be like fifth grade. We're taking off running. And for all we know, we just got shot at.
Yeah.
And we get there and Harry Wright Sr. came out and got after this guy's like, oh, no. I thought it was something else. I didn't shoot anybody. I just shot in the air. He was going after this guy pretty good. But I think he just thought, watch this. I think this is a watch this moment where he goes, watch me scare the ship
out of these,
out
kids.
Of these two kids.
Trying to
walk through this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. And it worked.
Yep.
And it was successful. So we didn't get shot at.
Right, per se.
We got shot around. Have I been shot at by a BB gun? Yes. By a bottle rocket? Yes.
Yes. Those as well. I still got a BB in my neck, I think. I got one.
But you got shot at by a bullet?
A bullet, yeah. We were in the park. A bunch of us were in the park, and all of a sudden, this guy comes up, and he just starts shooting. And, you know, everybody scattered.
What did you hear
this? I
think
they call those drive-bys.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't a drive. He was walking. He was. No, we didn't hear that.
It wasn't Omar?
No.
Okay.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
But it sounds like something Omar would do.
That was Baltimore. That wasn't Chicago.
Yeah, but.
Anyway, yeah, that happened. But, okay.
Sounds like something Omar might do.
What happened to the segment? What happened to this segment? She hit by a car. The poor girl got hit by a car.
No, that's the segment.
The poor girl got hit by a car, and this is where we went.
Getting hit by a car and shot at is the segment.
That is true.
Well, who on the 97.5 roster would get hit by a car and still do their job that day?
None of us. Charlie. We'd all be in the hospital saying, pay me, David Gow.
I think Jake would. I'm done.
And you're going to pay me.
I think Jake would.
For the rest of my life.
I've been injured with boots and braces and slings, and I've still made it in, so it'd definitely be me.
Oh, yeah, you would be in the hospital. There's no question.
No, I would. Do you do the show from the hospital then?
No, well, there's no question you would be in a boot and probably an entire body
Brad
brace.
Brad Kellner would break an
ankle.
You would be in
a body brace
Jake
for the rest
Asman.
Of your life.
Jake Asman would do it.
We'll continue doing the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jake Asman.
He's from Syracuse. That's what they do. The show must go on.
Yeah. What about Charlie?
No.
Nope. Yeah, Charlie'd be done. That's it. I'm done for the day. I'm done for the week. I'm done for the month. That's it. That's how I would do it too. Are you kidding? I got hit by a car.
Twitch said it wasn't a drive by, it was a walk up. You got sprayed at by a walk up.
Yeah, not a drive by.
Yeah, I don't know. John lived that life. There's a reason that anytime we bring up Chicago, he like tries to change the subject. We're convinced there's a reason you're not supposed to be there. You keep it low profile in Chicago.
I'm with Chicago. Done. I don't even like to go back and visit my family. 713-780-3776 is the number to hang out here. Back to Carlos Correa on the other side, in case you missed it. Did not hear. We've got some sound from Mark Berman, a courtesy Mark Berman in Channel 26. We appreciate you guys. We'll hear from Scott Boras about the Astros' chances of keeping Carlos Correa. And right now, though, give me the VIN.com. That's John Clay Wolf. John Clay Wolf is just awesome. And you hear him on, if you haven't heard his show on Saturday morning, it's different. It's not something that you would expect a guy who is buying your car. He talks about so many different things. And if you're looking for, you know, some entertainment value, you got that. But if you're looking to sell your car, dude can actually quote you. You tell him what year and model and, you know, what kind of condition it's in. And he can actually quote you. Right there on the radio. That's how good he is at this. And, oh, by the way, he's going to give you more for it than anybody else is going to give you for it. So he bought $1 billion worth of cars last year, over $1 billion worth of cars. That is a lot of car. And if you want to sell yours, you know why he actually is able to buy $1 billion? Because he gives more than everybody else does. So everybody wants to sell them his car. You want to sell your car? Go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.